I'm wondering if for a second you can think about the feeling of deja vu. And in your own body, in your own mind, kind of sit and remember what it feels like to have deja vu. Kind of feels, if I think of it anyways, feels disorienting. It's just for a couple seconds, where you're confused about what's happening, as you sort of feel like, oh, did this happen before? Have I been here before? Where am I now? You feel disoriented, you feel a little bit thrown, and then there's this kind of like coming back to what is actually familiar, coming back to this place and settling back into a kind of knowing. And so I was thinking about that as we get ready for this week, because there might be a little bit of deja vu. Tonight we are talking about compassion. And in fact, this past September, when we were looking at the series of Being Us, we spent time together looking at learning, talking about compassion as a significant part of who we are. When we're talking about being us, and also when we're talking about following in the way of Jesus, compassion is a big piece of who we are as a church. It's a big piece of who God is calling us to be. We talked previously, and we want to remind ourselves of this truth, that when we're talking about compassion, we're not just talking about something that we do, but we're talking about something that we are called to become. And so shifting our kind of mindset, and sometimes when we use language in so many different directions, we start to get confused about what we're talking about, which is fair. And so it's just good for us to take the time to remember that we want to talk and think about it in the way of becoming people of compassion. So not as a thing separate from who we are that we're doing, but a part of who Jesus is inviting us to become, in the very essence of who we are as individuals, in the very essence of who we are as a church body. And we're continuing to learn this. We're continuing to learn it. Of course we are, because it's not a one-time thing. It's not something that we just hear once and then we get it and we go. That this is a part of our becoming, part of our ongoing learning. And so it's so good to be back talking about this again. And as we're spending this time talking about following in the way of Jesus, continuing to find and go in our way forward, that this is a wonderful thing for us to spend time on again. The other reason that it's so good to be back here, and if we're settling out of a moment of deja vu into a place of familiarity and remembering where we are, that we also want to come back because it's a way that we're changed when we talk about compassion. We talk about what we're learning here. If it's something that we're becoming, that we are being transformed in this process. And so when we're looking at what compassion means, when we're looking at stepping more and more in the way of being people of compassion, it should be shifting us. So even if we heard this in September, even if we heard it last week, some of these ideas, the way that we're hearing it now should hopefully also be shifting. As we move more and more in the way of Jesus, that we're changing as we go, that he is shaping us more and more to be the people that he has called us to be. And it amazes me in my own life, in so many different directions, how something that I learned in one particular season, and then I hear it again after time has passed, after experience has happened, after God has grown me in new ways, and you hear it in a fresh light. And so I hope that we'll keep on having these conversations, not just today and not just in September, but that we'll keep on engaging in these conversations, asking each other these questions, pursuing this piece of how we're becoming so that it keeps on forming us. It keeps on moving us more and more into who Jesus is inviting us to be. And this becomes the very action of our lives, this becoming, this learning, this going, this moving into the things that God is inviting us to. It's ongoing. It's always. And that's not a thing that needs to discourage us. That's not a thing that needs to bore us. It's not a thing that we need to be worried about, but that we keep pressing in this deeper and deeper. I think I've maybe shared it before, but maybe it was in a question as opposed to in another time. But I always love this image of like a drill that happens, this like going around, and we come back to the same learning, but it's deepening as we go, deepening in, getting deeper and deeper. And so sometimes, for sure, I get stuck in the like, oh, didn't I learn this? Haven't I heard this before? And things become familiar to us, and that's okay. But to trust in this kind of deepening that comes as we return to these places of learning, to trust that there's new pieces that God is revealing to us as we go together, to trust that he is sinking it in ever more into part of who we are. I was thinking too about, if you want to come back to the idea of deja vu or these idea of deepening layers, that is true for us as a Meeting House church family, things that we're continuing to learn, we're continuing to flesh out, we're continuing to walk together. It's also true that in this area of serving compassionately, that this is a piece of who we are that goes back or goes beyond even who we are as the Meeting House church. And I had the opportunity last week to be at a day with some other BIC pastors, and spend the day looking at our BIC, or our denomination, our core values. And it was such a gorgeous, rich day of sitting with our kind of even broader church family and listening to all the ways that we are going together, even beyond people that we know or see regularly. But one of the core values, these 10 core values that we were talking through, is serving compassionately. And the way that it's phrased in the BIC, or the denominational values, is we value serving others at their point of need, following the example of our Lord Jesus. And I just love that landing for us. I love that holding for us. I love knowing that this isn't something that we made up if we thought it was. It's not. This is a gorgeous call of our huge church, and it's because it's rooted in the example of Jesus, which we know and trust. Serving compassionately, we value serving others at their point of need, following in the example of our Lord Jesus. So we want to take time again. We don't want to take it for granted. We want to take time again to look at what it means to be people who live out our faith, who keep moving, who keep going deeper in these learnings, who keep on saying, yes, Jesus, show me again, show me anew. I want to see it with fresh eyes. I want it to be revealed in a new way by your Spirit for this moment, for this season. We want to remember, we want to celebrate that this continues to be a key part of who we are. It's not something new, but something important in our becoming and in our way of going. And the reason that it's important is because it's something that Jesus modeled. It's something that he has invited us into. We're following in his example as we go in the way of compassion, as we walk in the way of Jesus. So I'm going to just pause and pray for a second there as we settle into some other, into the text and into some other things. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to reveal and teach us as we go together. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the rich history of who we are as a church that's here in this topic of compassion, in this learning around what it is to be people of compassion. And Lord, we just acknowledge together from the very beginning that, as in all things, we need your help. We need your help, Lord, to understand. We need your help to drill deeper. We want to be attentive to the way that you are leading, to the things that you want to highlight for us, to the way that you want to draw us deeper into this walk of compassion, into serving and meeting others at their point of need. And so, Spirit, we ask you to come, to lead, to guide, to reveal, to remind, to nudge us forward in the way as we follow after you. We thank you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. So there's lots of different scriptures in the New Testament that talk about Jesus feeling compassion, Jesus having compassion on the people that he's encountering. And a lot of them are when he sees a crowd, which I think is really interesting. I would be more prone to think about compassion in a one-on-one, kind of like an intimate one-on-one conversation. But there's several different references, like when Jesus feeds the 5,000, he looks out and sees this vast crowd of people and all the need, right? Overwhelming need, thousands of people that are hungry, and Jesus is moved to compassion. So often when he sees crowds, and other times when he's engaging with individual people as they go along, there's language is there in scripture that Jesus is moved with compassion. We see other examples, and we're going to look at a couple specifically in a minute, when he's encountering someone that's in pain. So this is makes sense to us, right? When he sees someone in a place of deep need, in pain, in poverty, in some kind of turmoil, that Jesus feels compassion towards them. And the word compassion means to suffer together. So the compassion that Jesus is feeling, the compassion that we're invited into following the example of Jesus, isn't just to feel bad for that person, right? It's not just to feel upset about their circumstance. It implies this movement to, this movement towards the place of need, this movement to the place of suffering. So that now, if we're entering into compassion, or if Jesus is moved with compassion, it's not the person suffering over here, that this is suffering together. So this movement together, now we're in this place of need alongside. And that's what Jesus shows us in the stories that we're going to see, moved with compassion and moving towards the need. So let's take a look at a couple examples. We're going to look first in Luke chapter 7, if you want to turn with me there. Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 11. We're going to read one chunk. Jesus raising a widow's son. We're going to do this chunk and then one other little bit of story as examples, and we'll see what we can pull out about how Jesus models this for us, moving with compassion. So let's read starting at verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearer stopped. "Young man," he said, "I tell you, get up." Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. So this is a pretty crazy story. This young man was dead, and then he encounters Jesus, and he is alive. And that's a thing that maybe we get a little bit used to in some of the stories about Jesus, but we shouldn't. It's incredible that Jesus brought him back to life. "I tell you, get up," and back to life he comes. So that's amazing, and we don't want to skip over that or, just not miss that in any kind of way. But we also want to look and see at some of the other pieces of what's being said here and how it is that Jesus moves with compassion in this particular story. So if we just go back to the start of it, Jesus is traveling along with his disciples and a large crowd. So presumably people are already following and watching what he's doing. They're in the midst of going somewhere. They're on their way. And he comes across this funeral procession coming in the opposite direction or coming out of the gate, right, to go to where the burial will take place. And so we see right away that Jesus is interrupted. And wherever he was going, this wasn't part of the plan, but he's interrupted and he stops. And he stops what he was doing, wherever he was going, whatever was happening, he stops in this. It's unplanned. It could be seen as a disruption to whatever else is happening, but Jesus is good with it. And this becomes where he's spending this moment. This becomes what he's doing in this time. We also see that it's a widow that he's encountering and that this was her only son. So in a short phrase, you learn a lot about the suffering of this woman, right? A widow that she has lost her husband, and this was her only son. We don't know if it was her only child, but it was her only son. And so two significant losses that are happening in her life that I can only imagine have, of course, a relational cost to her mother's heart. And then also, the text doesn't say, but we can kind of infer that this would be significant for her in other aspects of her life beyond relationship too, because it would have been her husband or her son that would take care of her, that would look after her financially, that would give her safety, that would give her security, And maybe she has those in other places, but maybe she doesn't. But either way, it's a significant loss that she has no husband, that she has no son. Presumably, her stability, her safety, her well-being are all at risk, in addition to the huge loss that she has experienced by losing a child. And so Jesus sees her. Jesus stops and sees her. He sees the fullness of what is happening with her. And when he sees her, verse 13, his heart overflows with compassion. He moves into suffering with her in that language. He's moved with mercy. He enters into her story in this moment. And then he offers what he has as the Son of Man, as Jesus. He offers what he has to her. He sees the fullness of her need. And so we're not engaging as Jesus, but there are principles here, there are patterns here of how Jesus engages that we can learn from as we want to walk in the way that he is inviting, that he is modeling to us. So we see that we're invited to walk in a way that can be interrupted, in a way that is available to the need that might confront us, even when it's not the plan, even when it's not where we were going, that we can be interrupted. That we want to be present to what those around us are experiencing. He could have just walked by, right? He could have just continued. He had a crowd, they were doing stuff. But the invitation is to be present to what is happening, to see the need and to move towards it. We also see in this example, I think, an invitation and this call that we can do the work of undoing or correcting or kind of engaging with the context that is causing the suffering. So Jesus brings this young man back to life, which is incredible. And then he also restores the security and the care for this woman. He gives the son back to his mother. And so I think there's an invitation here too, that when we encounter someone suffering, to take the time to look at the whole picture of what's there, to look at the whole picture of what the need is. And then, as Jesus was doing, we are invited to do, to rely on the power of God. In our case, to rely on the Spirit's equipping to meet the needs that are there, right? We're not doing that in our own capacity. We are equipped and partnered with the Holy Spirit, and he is with us as we go. Okay, let's look at another example. If we want to flip back to Mark chapter 10, we'll look at one more snapshot of a story. Mark chapter 10, we're going to start at verse 46. Jesus healing Bartimaeus. So let's read at verse 46. Chapter 10, verse 46 in Mark. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. So this is another short chunk of scripture that's packed with all kinds of things that we could talk about. But again, for this particular purpose, we want to focus in on the example that Jesus is giving in terms of how he's moved with compassion, how he engages and moves toward the suffering of someone else. So we see Bartimaeus calling out for help. Other people are annoyed, but Jesus stops. Jesus hears him. Jesus sees him, and he invites him closer. He invites him closer. "Tell him to come here. Be together with me." And Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I love this relational engagement example that Jesus gives. even though Jesus knows what he needs, Jesus might even know what he needs more than the man does. But Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And so there's a pause. There's an asking. There's an engagement. There's a relationship that's here first. And then Jesus goes on to meet his needs. What do you want me to do for you? And he says, I want to see. I want to see. So I think there's a learning here. There's a leaning in here for us to be listening to the needs of those who are near us, and also to be listening to the leading of the Spirit about what is really needed. There's different layers at work here, different layers at work. And there's a physical need and there's a spiritual need. And Jesus sees the fullness of what is needed and meets it. I think it's an interesting thing to look in this particular example that we can learn from what Jesus does, and we can also learn from what Bartimaeus does. And so we can see ourselves, the invitation for us, I think, in both sides of this story. And so we want to ask the question, are we available to see the needs of others? Do we have the time to pause, to ask questions, to engage relationally? Are we available in the way that Jesus is modeling for us to engage with compassion? And then on the flip, I think in Bartimaeus, we can also ask this question of ourselves, do we know our own need? Do we know our own need and our places of lack and our places where we need Jesus to meet us? Because that's also a way that we're transformed to be people of compassion. When we recognize the places where we also have need, and when Jesus says to us, what do you want me to do for you? Do we know? Do we know how we need Jesus? How we need him to be able to see clearly? We need him to show us the way to go forward. It's another way that we're prepared and equipped, that we're led in this way. And I love the language in these verses in verse 52. So as Jesus replies and says to him, go, for your faith has healed you, instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road, or he followed Jesus on the way. And what a beautiful connection for us as we're talking about walking in the way of Jesus. He says, Jesus, I want to be able to see, and I need you to do it for me. And now I can see, and I'm going to follow after you. And this is the invitation before us, right? This is the invitation before us. We need God's help to see and to know the way to go. We say, come and show me Jesus. And then we walk in the way that he is following. So as we continue to learn and relearn and remind and return to this invitation to be people of compassion, to walk in the way of Jesus in compassion, how do we go? What kind of things do we want to hold on to? Do we want to keep chewing over? Do we want to come back to again and again? How do we go? I think always we want to go with humility. We want to go with humility in the area of compassion. So we're not thinking more of ourselves. We're not thinking less of ourselves. We are recognizing that we are invited to do this. Every one of us. Every one of us is invited to engage in a way that meets other people at their point of need and serves them. And that we do it with humility, knowing that we don't have everything to offer. We don't know the perfect way to do it. But we want to come with a desire to learn, with a desire to see people in the fullness of their story like Jesus did. With a desire to offer what we do have and say, here's what it is, Jesus. Will you use it? Will you use it to care for other people, to meet their real needs, to continually transform us? And I think another piece of that humility is also remembering that we are also the ones being transformed through this process, right? It's this beautiful way that God has designed his body to be, that we need each other, and it goes in all directions. So maybe in one instance, I am the one moving towards the need to help and offer what I have. And that person is being cared for, is being met in their need. But I am also being changed through that giving, that I am being formed through that giving, through that serving, because Jesus is at work through the whole picture, inviting us to come together in that. And then in another instance, maybe I'm going to be the one in need. I will be in a different case, right? Ready to receive. And so this mutuality, like we've also been talking about, but this humility in that going, I think is so key as we continue to grow. in this area too. The second way that we go is with others. So we've talked about this too. We go together with others. There are others who have a better idea of how to go than we do when it comes to areas of compassion, right? People that have been doing it longer, people that see it differently, people that have been there themselves and actually know what's helpful. This is another way where sometimes, not always, but sometimes the first way that we think of engaging compassion might not be the best way. There's other ways to learn, and it is good and right for us to talk to other people, to take the time to do it relationally, to do it in a way that asks good questions before we just step in and assume that we know how. And so we've talked before when we were talking in September about how the Meeting House has done good there to partner with other organizations, to learn from them, to ask them, what do you see the need is and how do we come alongside you? And I think that's a good thing for us to hold on to and continue doing. Also, as we go with others, or we go together in a group and we move towards each other, we do away with this idea of some kind of separation, right? Like an us and them, or like the I'm the helper and here's the helpie. We move together and we become a body in a different way. We become an us. We become a going together. And there's not this kind of separation. I think that is how we want compassion to be. Not with a table between us and other people, right? But that we're directly alongside, that we're moving into real relationship. And that takes time. It takes time to go together. But it's important as we go. The third way that we go is with surrender. With surrender, often when we're talking about compassion, it can look like generosity, and that is good, but it's also so much more than that when we're talking about the way of Jesus, the way that we're invited to, the way that Jesus wants to transform us here. And this one, it's hard. These are all hard. This one is hard because it's good to be generous. It's good to give out of our overflow. It's good to give in a way that we feel, but maybe don't totally feel. We have so much. We have so much to give. And that's not always money. Sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's other resources. Sometimes it's time. We have so much to give when we stop and think about it. And it's good to be generous with what we have. And we should keep on doing that. But I think even more, as we're invited to be people of compassion, it looks like beyond generosity to like a full laying down of who we are and what we have to God's purposes. This full surrender of all of our resources, of all of who we are, of all of how we've even understood the call on our lives as people and as the church. How do we hold open these things and say, Jesus, how are you asking me to go? How are you asking me to be in the world, to be alongside these places of need? It's a surrender that I think as we lean into, we'll feel. I certainly do. I certainly do. I feel the difference between holding it like this and holding it like this. And so there's trust there for what God might invite us into, for what God will move us towards, for how it will change our lives, like we say we want it to, like we say we want it to, that we will be transformed, that we will be moved as the people of God, that we will move closer to the needs. And I think that as we go, if we're doing this in the way that Jesus invites us to, it will shift the fabric of our lives. It will shift the way that we spend our time. It will shift the way that we engage in relationship. It will shift the way that we act in our neighborhoods. It will change how we use our finances. It will change what we talk about, what we spend our time on. And we say we want it to. And then it looks like surrender to keep on saying, we want to choose this again. We want to go deeper with what you're calling us to, Jesus. We want to walk in the way that you have shown us. The last thing in how we go is to go with expectation for how we will be changed as we do that. For the good work that God is going to do in us as we go, because it doesn't feel like a burden when we're saying yes and living into the invitation that God has before us because of his grace, changing us and shifting us and growing us along the way. There's this beautiful, multifaceted impact of the surrender of our lives, and it will look like us living more and more into what Jesus has called us to be. So we want to move into it with expectation that, yeah, there's a cost. There's a cost to learning and changing. It will take effort. It takes intention. It takes time. But it is so good. It's so good. I believe it as we go. It's an invitation to heart change. And we want to expect that as we open ourselves up again to say, God, how do you want me to move and go again with you in this area? That he will meet us with what we need and that we will be changed in all the ways that we long to be as we go more and more into who God has created us to be. So I wonder how we feel here. When we think about that way of going, how do we feel? When we think about moving deeper into being people of compassion, do we feel excited? Do we feel moved with compassion, like it described in the passages that we looked at? Do we feel energized? Do we feel ready? Do we feel equipped? Or do we feel overwhelmed? Do we feel like it's too much? Do we feel like we wouldn't even know where to start? If we think about looking over a giant crowd like Jesus is, could we even take in the vast need that is all around us, the vast suffering that is everywhere? It is too much. It is too much. And maybe we feel a bit of both of those things, overwhelmed and also listening again to the way that Jesus would invite us. But it is too much for us. That's the truth. It's too much for us to handle. And then also, it's not too much because we're not doing it alone. We're not asked to do it in our own capacity and in our own strength. I love this quote by Henry Nouwen. I saved it on my phone in my notes or whatever years ago, and I come back to it lots, lots. Henry Nouwen writes, "Through prayer, we can carry in our heart all human pain and sorrow, all conflicts and agonies, all torture and war, all hunger, loneliness and misery, not because of some great psychological or emotional capacity, but because God's heart has become one with ours." When we're going as people of compassion, when we are doing it in prayer, in the equipping of the Spirit, it's not too much. It's not too much. Because God says, Jesus shows us, this is the way to go. And he is with us. He is with us. He is the way. And he's here. And so we're learning it as we go, but he is alongside us. As we keep on walking in this way, we're following Jesus down the road, like Bartimaeus. We're following the lead of the one who loves us, who knows us, who longs for us to live into the invitations that he has for us. He is what we need, and he is there as we go, showing us the way. So let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you for this ongoing invitation in front of us to be people who serve others at their point of need, to be people of compassion that move into places of suffering with others. And Jesus, truly, I thank you that this invitation, this way, is too hard for us on our own. And I pray, Lord, that in any of the ways where we have tried or we do try to go in our own strength or in our own ideas or in our own enthusiasm without you, Lord, we just pray that you will bring us back to an understanding of how we must go with you in these places. And there's no reason not to, because you are here showing us the way, walking with us as we go. And there's no hurry, Lord, that you are with us in our becoming as we go, as we learn it together, as we try new things, as we are transformed in the process, God, as we learn it in new ways. That you are there, that you are present, that you are the one equipping and changing and meeting the needs. And in your grace, Lord, in your great love, that you partner with us in that going, that you include us in that going, so that we can know your love in new ways, so that we can know your heart in deeper ways. And so, Father, I just pray that you will continue to help us understand, that you will continue to show us how to go from where we are, that we will walk it in these ways that you have modeled, that we will walk it trusting that we can follow you, that we're never alone, that we have what we need. We thank you, Lord. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen.